Amen. You guys look amazing this morning. There is a word this morning, continuing in our series, Jesus, our relational Savior. In the book of the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 8. We're going to be right around verse 26. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 8. Right around verses 26 through 29. Are we there, family? What I want to do is I want to read into your hearing. I want to back up to Luke chapter number 22, and I want to point out what happens before our passage today. I know the elder read 26. Right around through 33, I guess. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 8, and I want you to go back to right around verse 22. And I am going to read verses 22 through 25 in your hearing. Are we there? The Gospel according to Luke chapter number 8, beginning with verse 22. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's how my Bible reads. Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And so they launched out. But as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, he being Jesus, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake. They began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves. And they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying one to another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. They came to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he, being Jesus, got up and rebuked the wind and the surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Family, I'd like to speak briefly this morning from this subject, how to welcome home the castaway. How to welcome home the castaway. Certainly, as we look at this text, there are a myriad of things that come to play. And what happens there on the Sea of Galilee? And our text this morning, as we deal with Jesus' healing of the demoniac there in the land of the Gadarenes, I just thought it important to go back and see what happened before Jesus encounters this demon-possessed man. Interestingly, can we bring up that map for us to just see exactly where our text takes place today? Y'all see they got me something fancy here. I said I appreciate that. Y'all see this area here of Galilee? Our text takes place today. Jesus was no doubt likely right here around Capernaum where he did most of his home base. And our text takes place today on this side of the Sea of Galilee, on the east side. Here is Gadara. Now, it's an interesting thing. There's several ways that we can go about outlining and breaking down this text. But I think one of the first things I would like to do is I am going to read the demoniac portion, and then I'm going to show you a bit of a connection that I was able to come across in my study. Luke chapter number 8, verse 26, then they sailed to the country, the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, that I just showed you on the map. And when he came out onto the land, he, Jesus, was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, was not living in a house, but in the tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him, and he said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had seized him many times. He was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. And yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain. The demons implored him, Jesus, to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran and reported it in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found, get this, the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country, the Gerasenes and the surrounding district, asked him, Jesus, to leave them, for they were gripped with fear. great fear. And he, being Jesus, got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he, Jesus, sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. That's a good place to say amen. Now, every time that I stand before the body of believers and I have an opportunity to preach the gospel, I have one thing on my mind. That is that I wrap it tight, make it light, put a handle on it, easy to tote. Let me say that again. Every time I have an opportunity to stand and proclaim the word of God, in my mind, as I prepare my message, I'm thinking to myself, wrap it tight, Gigi. I need it to be tight. I don't like to be all over the place. I like to make it light, because if people can't carry it, if it's too heavy, it'll never leave this room. I like to put a handle on it. Have you ever tried to carry big, cumbersome items? Maybe it's not heavy, but it's so cumbersome, you can't quite tote it. Put a handle on it. Easy to tote. I want you to know that this morning is not one of those messages. Somebody said, "Whoa." This morning is not one of those messages. And I'll tell you why. No doubt each and every one of us knows somebody that right now as I speak is being tormented by demons. No doubt each and every one of us have a brother, a sister, an uncle, a cousin, a friend who is being tormented by demons. And yet we're in this series, Jesus, our relational Savior. How does Jesus deal with those who've been cast away? I started studying this lesson and I went to outline it and I had to hit the brakes. Skirt! I said, let me back up. I said, there's something else going on here. There's something else going on here. There is what's called a chiastic structure going on with this passage. And I just believe that if we don't get this chiastic structure, we may miss what's going on here. Let me have that slide, Nathan, if you will. It's okay. There's a chiastic structure here, and a chiastic structure is a rhetorical device, and what it does, it gives us an opportunity, the writer, to lay things out in a mirror of itself, and what that does is it comes to a point. And a chiastic structure comes to a point and says that what I have to say is, I'm going to say it in a way that it mirrors itself, but the whole idea is to drive the reader to the point. And that point is what cannot be missed if they're going to catch the meaning of what I'm doing. I'm doing something here, but there's a specific point that I want us to hit. Now, take a look up here at this chiastic structure. We have A, B, C, D, D prime, C prime, B prime, A prime. This is one of those messages where I want you to look at your Bibles and follow along with me, or you can look at the screen. Now, first of all, let me thank Fred Wales, and I know he don't like this. Fred, I know you don't like this, but I want to thank you because you gave a message the other evening, and you talked about chiastic structure. And I believe that the Lord used that message that you planted in my head. I'm aware of it. But when you planted that in my head and I was trying to outline this text, I said, it's just not falling the way I want it to fall. And because of the lesson that you gave Sunday evening on a chiastic structure, this fell right in my head, and I got to work. Look at what I discovered, saints. You see A up there? Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. That's verse 22. That's why I went back and read what happened at the storm. Y'all saw it, didn't you? Now, on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat. Go down a little bit on that structure, Nathan, to D. Can you get D? Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, verse 22. The disciples became afraid, verse 24a. Jesus calms the raging sea, verse 24b. The disciples question Jesus' identity. That's verse 25. That's the point. That's the point that we have to get. The disciples question Jesus' identity. And D prime, the demoniac, proclaims Jesus' identity. Sometimes when you go to put these things up on the slide up here, it get a little wonky. But the demoniac proclaims Jesus' identity. The whole gist of this is that we understand who Jesus is. Now, we're going to walk through this, and we're going to unpack it. But we look at C prime, Jesus calms the raging man. Look at B prime, the people became sorely afraid. Bible says that the herdsmen, when they saw what happened, they took off the running. They went and told the folk and say the folk came back and saw the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they got scared. And look at A prime. One of the saddest verses in Scripture. Jesus and his disciples got back in the boat and returned. Now, very important that we understand that chiastic structure, because it points to the severity of what's going on. I don't much tell a lot of stories when I'm preaching, but I believe that this text demands that I do. For those of you who know what I do for a living, I think y'all might be able to catch this. I heard a story from a police officer one day. I'm not saying it was me, okay? I think y'all can put it together. Well, he got a call. And there was a disturbance that a woman called the police because she said her daughter had been in inpatient treatment, and she had brought her daughter home after being there for several months. And she called the police and said some people just left her house, and she believed that her daughter was in her bedroom doing drugs. And that police officer showed up to the house and went inside and saw firsthand the ugliness of demon possession. What that officer saw in that room, it changed my life. It changed my life because I had been in a point where I would see people who were taking these drugs and behaving in crazy ways, and I would just shake my head and say, how can somebody do something so crazy? Well, what I saw in that room changed the way I look at this thing. And it made my heart just a little bit different. Now, I'm going to be easy here because I see all these young people in this room. But I saw some things in that room, and I heard some things. The young lady who was in that room wasn't talking to me. She started out talking to me. But that demon that was in her began to speak to me. One of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. And that demon cursed me for it. Cursed me in English. And I recognized that we were in trouble because that demon recognized the God that was in me. Now, I wasn't in there by myself. It was another office in the room. But when the demon started talking, that office in the room froze and turned into a statue, basically. And I went over to place this young lady. She was about 80 pounds, maybe 85 pounds in her early 20s. And I went over to place her in handcuffs because she was actually smoking PCP. She pulled out these drugs and right in front of us and started going at it. And so I said, well, now I got to go over and go ahead and place her in custody. And when I went over and touched her by the wrist to gain control of her, I felt a power that I have never felt. I felt a strength in her that I have never felt. And she pulled away from me, and it was so strong that I jumped back and I realized I was in trouble. But I knew enough to call on the name of Jesus. Let me tell you what I did in that room. I called on the name of Jesus. And to make a long story short, we were able to finally subdue her. It took about 5 or 6 officers. Everybody was on a limb. And we were finally able to subdue this young lady. And I walked out of that room, and I went and sat in my patrol car, and I just thought to myself, man, are the stakes high. Man, are the stakes high. And I'm just going to tell you, I left that really, 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 really clean because of the children who were in that room, who are in this room right now. But it was absolutely terrifying. Have you ever seen somebody, maybe I'm the only one, Jill, that's seen somebody struggling with demonic possession? Blake, maybe I'm the only one that knows somebody struggling with demonic possession. Several things we could look at with this text. Our current state of our society is the handiwork, proof of the handiwork of our adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I believe that due to obsession, our nation is experiencing spiritual recession, causing many to fall into spiritual depression while trying to cope with the agony of spiritual oppression, all of which is brought about by demonic possession of these very same spirits. It's all right if I don't get any amens today. When I considered this man was, first of all, Fred, he was out of place. Because the Bible says that he wasn't wearing any clothes and he was living in the abode of the dead. He was outnumbered because we know that he was infiltrated by many demons. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. No doubt he was outnumbered, but then he was out of assistance. He was out of assistance because his community had given up on him. I want us to consider this man's torment, the prolonged struggle that he faced. I want us to consider then his transformation. What happened after he encountered Jesus? And then I want us to consider his testimony. after having been bound by these demons. Now, what I want to do is I want to do a running commentary. I want you to follow along in your Bibles, and we're going to walk down through what happened to this man. Look there at verse 26 of our text. Bible says, that the disciples, they went and woke up Jesus and said, "Master, carest thou not that we're perishing?" Jesus got up, wiped sleep out of his eyes, and said, "Peace be still." Verse 26, then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with many demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tomb. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him. It's an interesting thing because Mark, according to his gospel account, he would have us to know that Jesus and his disciples were immediately met by this demon-possessed man. And confer with Mark chapter number 1, verse 2, Matthew mentions the presence of two men. Matthew mentions a second man and that they were coming straightway out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way. Luke then reveals in verse number 27 that the man wasn't wearing any clothes and he hadn't had on any clothes for a long time. Apart from being naked for a long time, he was living in the abode of the dead. Bible says that they proclaim, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Can I tell y'all why that's so important and why it's so amazing to see that? Because the last time we heard a question in this text, remember, going all the way back to verse 22, the last question we heard was, "What manner of man is this? That he speaks to the wind and the waves, and they obey him." It's an interesting thing that the demons, and not Jesus' disciples, answer this question. Ironically, but not certainly, not by chance, this demonic spokesman, unsolicited, professed Jesus' identity. It's an amazing thing. Luke chapter number 1, verse 22, "And he shall be called Son of the Highest. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Luke chapter number 1, verse 35. In doing so, this unclean spirit answers the interrogative Jesus' disciples contemplated on that boat. What manner of man is this? That he commandeth even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Do not be mistaken. This demon was not worshiping Christ as Savior. Rather, he was revering Christ as the righteous judge by pleading against premature torment. It's an amazing thing. Luke reveals that this man would break his bonds and be driven into the desert by the demons. Mark describes how the people could no longer bind him, not even with a chain, because the man would tear apart the chains and break into pieces the shackles, and no man was strong enough to subdue him. Also, night and day, without ceasing, this man was screaming amongst the tombs, cutting himself with stones. You can confer with Mark chapter number 5, verses 3 through 5. This man was so extremely violent that in verse 5, Mark says that no one could pass by that way. North Oaks, the implication is that the people had contended with these men for a long time before finally giving up on them. Even ceding a portion of land to the crazies, to the castaway, as some sort of compromise. Is that what we do with those in our lives that we know are facing demonic possession? Do we finally just give up on them and say, you know what, you got this right here. You got this land. Hey, just have at it. I won't even go that way. I concede all this portion of my life. I won't ever go back there. I know you're living with mama, but I never go back home because you there. Mama can deal with you. I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 8, verse 18. Matthew chapter number 8, verse 18. It says, now when Jesus saw, are we there? Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, boy, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. This is why it's so important when the synoptic gospels give an account of something, not just to take one account and think that's all the reading I have to do. Because the Bible says when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he went to the disciples and he didn't just make a suggestion. You know, maybe I think we ought to go to the other side. The Bible says that Jesus gave an order to depart and go to the other side. Allow me to suggest that Jesus knew that while these folk made their dwelling amongst the living, that there was a demon-possessed man they had all but given up on, who made his living amongst the dead, that needed to be visited. That's what the devil does, and it's what he seeks to do is to isolate us. Can I get a witness in this building? We can't let that happen. We can't let the enemy wane, isolate our... Why is Pastor so fervent about this? I told you I was in that room. We can't let the enemy isolate our loved ones. We can't let the enemy have those who are created in the image of God. I know what we think sometimes. I got my little space right here, Chris. My wife is taken care of. Gabriel Jr. is taken care of. I got a comfortable roof over my head. My bills are paid. I can open my fridge. And I got food in my fridge, Jane. They say the storm is coming, but I'm going to be okay. I got a Generac out here. I'm good. Jesus said, what is your name? How about it's not the man that answered? Jesus said, what is your name? He wasn't asking the man what his name was. He was speaking to the demonic. And the demonic answered. Let's see what it says there. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Now, we don't read in any account that Jesus actually opened his mouth up and said the words, but we know he spoke to the demons. Because the Bible says that Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he brake his bonds and was driven by the demon into the desert. Look at verse 30, and Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. And while I won't be tempted, Northos, to go down this rabbit trail or rabbit holes and risk turning this sermon series in a study on demonology, I will take a moment to point out a couple of things. A couple of things. Number one, don't ever think you can out-intellect the demon. Don't ever think that you can outsmart a demon. You ain't that smart. Unlike you and I, demons are spirit beings who have lived through every era of human existence and speak every language on earth. Now, that's not in the Bible right here. But I told you I was in that room. They speak every language on earth. Do you know why we ought not be going around cussing people out? Because they got over in your lane? Somebody cut me off on the way to church this morning. They literally came into my lane on Champion Forest. You know they got the media in there. I ain't had nowhere to go. I said, "Babe, what in the?" She said, "Are they coming in your lane?" I said, "He all the way in my lane." Y'all know why we can't be cussing people out? Because you know what that is? I know you don't want to hear it. It's demonic. Speak every language on earth. The spokesman gave Jesus the name Legion. Now we know this was a first century. I told you they lived in every era of human existence. This was the first century Roman representation of about a 6,000 strong brigade of soldiers. And that's why the demon gave the name Legion, because the Bible says, for it was so many of them. And now there are scholars who have responded and said simply, this is just hyperbole. Surely this man couldn't have been indwelt by not even hundreds of demons. Not possible. When I read Mark chapter number 5, verse 13, the record is Martha, that those swine that were feeding on side of the hill was about 2,000 of them. Don't take Pastor's word for it. Just turn there. Mark chapter number 5, verse 13. Make yourself a note. You can go back and look at it. It's about 2,000 swine. And Mark 15 describes the healed man, the very man who had the legion. I'm going to take the demon's word. Can you just imagine that? Being indwelt by 6,000 demonic spirits? Without hope? Because the community gave up on you. Say, you can have the tombs. We're going to focus on our family, the ones who we got in our right mind. You'll be all right. You ain't got to worry about wearing no clothes. Ain't nobody out there anyway. The craziest part about all this The craziest part about all this, look what the Bible says. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain. The demons implored him to put them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported to the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became afraid. Can I give you my interpretation here? Jimmy, this brother became a disciple. Because John chapter 11, Martha, who Jesus was ministering to, said Lazarus was his friend. Martha's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is teaching. The man had on clothes. Did you see it? He was wearing clothes for the first time in a long time. And he wasn't cutting himself and crying out and acting crazy. He was in his right mind. Now, let me show you the craziest part about all this. And they became frightened. Can I tell you about folk? Larry, I'm sure you'll agree with me. Why can't people celebrate when God has delivered a demon-possessed person? Why don't we celebrate when God does a great work in our neighbor's life? Can I tell you why? Because folk expect to find you in the same graveyard you were in the last time they saw you. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach. Chris, they expect to find you in the same graveyard you were in the last time they saw you. Jesus, our relational Savior. Jesus, our relational Savior. Let me give y'all my points at the back end of this. Is that okay? I'm going to give y'all my points, and I'm going to sit down. What was the point of this whole thing? The chiastic structure, Clovis, as I showed you. What I say what the point of this whole thing was to understand who Jesus was, right? Listen to these points. How do we get to be able to relate with our brothers and sisters, relate with those who are no doubt severely possessed? Those that's been cast away. I mean, to where the government actually secedes an area of land. That's the crazy land. Don't go this way. Go around. How do we deal with it? Number one, we need to be willing to snub the crowd for the one crying out. We got to be willing to snub the crowd for the one crying out. And let me tell you something. I want you to hear from me. I ain't trying to be no celebrity. I'm not concerned with great masses of people telling me that I'm great. The Bible says when the crowd came around Jesus and he saw the crowd, he gave an order. Because the crowd got somewhere to sleep. And this man is running crazy, cutting himself in the graveyards. Are we willing to snub the crowd? We want to be famous, right? Listen, every time I cut this YouTube on,
They trying to get out. Our kids think it's singing and dancing and going and acting a fool and punching people and trying to get likes and this stuff. Man, that ain't what, that's not what this is about. Do y'all know they got our young people on TikTok thinking that what makes you somebody is a bunch of people following you because you out here making a fool out of yourself?
Y'all ain't got to say nothing back. I seen that TikTok. I know what they doing on there. Are we willing to snub the crowds for the one crying out? Point number two, are we willing to step in when the community calls it quits? Are we willing to step in when the community calls it quits?
And Pastor, you give us those good sermons, and you go down and we put our points down, and man, we really like that. What are you doing today? What did that say right there, Garrett? That says Jesus, our relational Savior. Last time I checked, our goal was to be like Jesus, right? Are we willing to snub the crowds, for one? Are we willing to step in when the community calls it quits?
Some of our members this week went to see about some folk who no doubt was dealing with demonic people. And they represented our church, and they came and gave me the report. This week, couldn't make it up. Matter of fact, they inconvenienced. They drove a long distance to see about some folk who had encountered the demonic. The community called it quits. And thirdly and finally, do we have the strength to comfort the called out? Do we have the strength to comfort the called out? This is an amazing indictment. Let me read that again. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. And the people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out. Brother had turned into a disciple. Sitting down at the feet of Jesus. This is the position and the posture of a learner. Clothed in his right mind, the Bible said they were afraid. And what did they do? Those who reported it to them, how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding districts. Jesus, please go. Here's what happened. Do you remember that the spokesperson, the synagogue official, these messages, it's in the series, it's kind of connected. Jesus healed the woman who was folded together and said the synagogue spokesman spoke out and said, there are 6 days on which you can be healed. Come on one of them and not on the Sabbath. And what did Jesus say? Don't y'all unloose your ox and your donkey and lead them to water on the Sabbath? Should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham that she is, be loosed from her infirmity on the Sabbath? Here's the reality. These people put their welfare, their commodity, their swine. They care more about their swine being destroyed by demons than they cared about their own neighbor. The Bible said this man was from the city. They care more about their swine being destroyed by demons than their own brother. It's an amazing thing, but the Bible is clear. Jesus commissioned him. Just like he's commissioned every disciple in this room. Go and tell what I did for you. Strength to comfort the called out. That's the Greek ekklesia, the way I'm using called out. Those who belong to the body of faith. Those who have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. And here's what I'll leave you with. It just ain't enough to make sure that you and your family are good. It just ain't enough to make sure that, well, my family's good and I know the Lord and we're going to serve God. And those crazy folk can act any kind of way they want to act. They better not come near me. And I ain't going near them. Man, I wish y'all could see the look on y'all face right now. I'm telling you. Are we willing to treat others, that don't look like us, that don't act like us, that don't sleep like we sleep, that don't hang out in places that we hang out in? Are we willing to think more highly of them than we think of ourselves? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for a tough pill to swallow this morning. Thank you for reminding us through your perfect example, I will leave and forsake this crowd of people who don't need my help. To go and deliver one who so desperately needs to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be your hands and feet. That we might show to a dead and dying world that there is deliverance in one name, and that is the powerful name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jesus.